putting together an audio show which entertains and educates the globe is a piece of cake. When you've got the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Edition teens on the case for Siren 107.3 FM and sirenonline.co.uk.
Positively bursting with life in every sense of the word. OK, highs today 6 degrees centigrade, lows of 1 degree centigrade. There'll be sunny spells with a few showers. It'll be remaining windy, but not as windy as yesterday, although it will be feeling cold. Ideal weather, Gabriella Peralta, to effectively just say, yes, I'm so happy I'm in Lincoln on this wonderful Thursday, February the 13th.
Yeah, it sounds great.
It does, doesn't it? It's positive stuff from that point of view. People are expecting us to go down to the Brecon Beacons and find out what Eve Thomas is doing. That includes John Wenham, of course, our very own diary person. Uncontactable. Now, that could be a number of reasons, exactly. It could be because she's been blown away, you know, literally.
Might have happened.
It could have happened. Could be because she's having various other challenges. Or it could well be that we're just dialing an incorrect number. Hopefully we'll connect before too long, but maybe not today, because we'll be launching a little special bonus. Sarah Beeny, of course, known to many for her property advice on a whole series of TV programmes and so on, has also had a long-standing, nigh on 10 years, dating website that's been put together.
Really?
She chatted, actually, in a very interesting way with that wonderful Ross Garrigan, who actually does the Drive Time show on Thursday. And soon, in fact, next Monday, we'll be launching the Monday Morning Very Early Breakfast show.
Yeah, we are.
It's amazing, isn't it? Ross Garrigan, breakfast, 7 a.m. through to 9 a.m. here. You know,
sounds great.
It does.
I won't miss it.
I would hope not. You know, it's very good. By the way, we also have to say get well to Rachel Warren, because she sent in an email this morning to say she woke up and she couldn't find her voice. I think that's very careless of her, personally.
You know, I mean, Next time, just pack it before. Pack it the night before.
Do you know, that is so true. If you're going to actually get the thing sorted, pack the voice before you... Mm-hmm. It's important. Otherwise, you get up in the morning and so many stressful things sort of start happening. It becomes problematic.
Yes.
You know, that's the key thing. Anyway, Richard Fitzwilliams will be joining us shortly. Gabriella, obviously you're around for another 1,800 seconds before you scoot off.
I worked it out, 1,800 seconds.
It's important, you know. Some people might say, get a life, but never mind. That's not...
Oh, no.
I have to say, you're looking particularly... I mean, you always have wonderful sartorial elegance, but are you on camera today?
No, I'm editor of my program today.
Dressing look.
Yes, very exactly. Good. I've had to dress up today.
This is very
to play the role.
Exactly. Well, you know, dress for success.
Exactly.
Scenario that has the Telegraph and a variety of other fine folk rating you one of the 10 best dating websites. Clearly you've got something special if you add to that a property developer and television presenter extraordinaire, who obviously has the likes of Property Ladder, Property Snakes and Ladders, and a whole heap of other goodies to her credit. Then you know you're in safe hands when you can actually say the legend that is Sarah Beeny. Welcome along to the production. How are you?
Hello. Hi, Max. How are you?
Good to connect with your good self. Now, this interesting step into dating sites and such like, as we said, rating one of the top 10 best dating best dating websites, mysinglefriend.com. What's the sort of magical thing behind this that makes it different, Sarah, from other sites and such like?
Well, we actually launched My Single Friend 10 years ago today. Well, not today, this year rather. Sorry, I can't remember exactly what day it was. But we launched it when there weren't really any dating sites out there, and there was a big... a big stigma about dating sites and doing dating online. And really, My Single Friend was a leader in breaking down that stigma, because at the time, you got somebody else to describe you, someone else to put you on, and it took away the sort of yucky stigma of the kind of lonely, sad person who had to go to a dating site. 10 years on, I think we've all embraced that. We're all really cool with the web now. We can all do loads of stuff on the web, and we no longer think it's a weird place that weird gremlins sit. And actually, it's fine to do online dating. But now it's almost gone to the other extreme. Now you can have a dating. There's websites for people who like yellow jumpers. There's another website for someone who eats peanut butter on toast. There's another website for people who like one particular speciality coffee. And actually, this is kind of madness, because actually dating was never broken. Dating's fine. It's just you want to meet more people. And I just don't believe that computers and computer matching can make a match for you. You know, my husband, who we might not last, who knows, but it's lasted 23 years so far. You know, we don't like the same kind of jumpers, and we don't like the same kind of coffee. It's just a kind of gut thing that makes you like each other. And mainly your friends know that. So So the most important thing now is for everyone to remember that friends are crucial in the dating process. And so My Single Friend, in a way, is more relevant than it ever has been. Because on My Single Friend, your friends get involved, your friends recommend people, your friends describe you, your friends are all, you know, it's about a community.
You see, Sarah, I can almost tempted to say that it's because you're a Capricorn goat, you just get straight through all the whole routine and just get to the business of the whole thing. But we'd best not go there, otherwise it could bring in a whole range of things from that perspective. You seem to be absolutely spot on in terms of that. I mean, are you applying the kind of straightforward, down to earth thinking that you do in terms of property or other sort of relationships, except in this particular case, obviously, it's a dating site. It's looking to sort of, you know, touch base on that and not get caught up in what, you know, quite literally can be a minefield with form filling, compatibility tests, and then you think, oh, I failed. What can I do?
Yeah, I mean, we live in a country where we love forms, don't we? Actually, we don't, because I hate forms. In fact, I passionately despise forms. And what I really want to know about the forms, now, here's a really big question. I think the problem with computers is that people before, when they had paper and they had forms, there were piles and piles of forms, and they had to take those forms somewhere, and then they had to put them somewhere. No one read them ever. You just had to fill them in. And now, because it's everything's online, now you fill in millions and millions of forms. There's thousands of piles of billions of data, which no one knows what to do with. And actually, you know, a form is only relevant if it has some value. Filling it in for the sake of it, there is no value in filling in a form unless you're very bored. So, yes, now I'm a massive anti-form fan, I think. And you know, local authorities, they still do it on paper. Where do they put all that paper?
Don't get me started on the paperless office, because that's a whole new ballpark for a whole new issue and so on and so forth. As you say, in terms of the success rates of this, I would have thought that actually it does make sense. And the sort of things that you're advising in terms of using friends and connecting with that, in terms of meeting more people, that actually it makes perfect sense. So, you know, the logical question is, why did somebody else not come up with this great idea? Is it just a case of because we like filling in forms? That's what we do.
Well, I think if I'm honest, happened to just have a moment where we came up with the idea. I came up with the idea about 4 in the morning. But it was, you know,
often the best time, I think, actually, for generating concepts and things. Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was at the beginning of the world of the web and dating, and someone else would have maybe come up with it at some point.
But Sarah, you got there first. That's the important thing.
Yeah. Well, I guess that is true. And now it would be impossible to do, because we started with no people on the site, and it was at a time we grew with the sector. So now, you know, we literally started with 4 people on My Single Friend. You couldn't start a dating site now with 4 people on it.
Well, you could. It just probably wouldn't be hugely successful, that's all, really.
No one would go on it.
Yeah.
So actually, we grew with the sector, and that is, in a way, why it's really you can't copy My Single Friend. No one else can do it, because you have to go back and you need a time machine to go back 10 years.
I'm sure that'll be worked on in the next sort of stage, etc. Obviously, we're heading up to Valentine's Day, which is more than just celebrating the massacre with Al Capone. Different thought, different idea entirely, though. Or indeed, St. Lofacolia Day, which is where the Roots are based in that. Do you find that there is an increase in traffic as we head to this time of the year, where people are thinking, right, you know, it's time to actually trade up, trade in, or actually even get a friend?
Well, Sunday the 9th, this coming Sunday, this weekend coming up, is our free messaging weekend, which I love free messaging weekend, but it's free to go on My Single Friend, so anyone can have their profile on there. But to send and receive messages, you have to pay, apart from this weekend, when it's a free messaging weekend, so you can just send loads of messages to everyone. And Sunday the 9th, which is this Sunday, so it's the last day of the free messaging weekend, is the day where everyone organises dates for Valentine's Day. So it's a frenzy of messaging. And it's just such fun Sunday, because people are organising dates all over the place, and they're randomly sending messages to people. And you know, I reckon you could probably pack in several dates for Valentine's Day
if they had your organisational acumen and expertise, probably the answer is yes. But, you know, otherwise I could see potential for disaster, you know, particularly from the males who can't multitask in any case. But that's a different line entirely. Sarah, it's been fabulous just sharing some thoughts with you yourself. A reminder, of course, it is mysinglefriend.com, the website to go to. And I do like the line of, well, I'm not an algorithm. I'm a free human being. You know, I will not be stamped, briefed, debriefed, indexed, or numbered. Oh, that's Patrick McGowan, prisoner. Two final questions. First of all, have you had a fairly interesting or reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition today? Has it been okay for you, Sarah?
Yes, it's been tremendous. Absolutely marvellous.
Customer feedback. We've got to tick the box. Got to fill in that form. So the next critical question is, can we look forward to maybe featuring you again in the not-too-distant future and celebrating the joys of My Single Friend and more in the life and times of Sarah Beeny, extraordinary human being?
Thank you very much. See you soon.
Yeah, I mean, if you have to think about the answer, Sarah, it's just, it's all right, there's no future, that's all I can say. No, no worries. You may have actually noticed, Gabrielle obviously instantly said, hang on, Sunday the 9th, haven't we passed that? Yes, we have. That's because we actually did that in extraordinarily good time for Valentine's Day. But, yeah, mysinglefriend.com, it's extraordinary. I mean, somebody who's always gregarious and is equally sort of happy with all sorts of other things, and I'm sure has got romance pouring out of every single part of his particular existence on the planet Earth, happens to be.
From international who's who to CNN, from film criticism to royalty, from South Africa to London, and now to the midweek drive on Siren FM, it's Richard Fitzwilliams.
Hurrah. Kalu Kale, as somebody once said. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Are you well?
Yes, I am.
Did you send any free messages on Free Message Sunday on mysinglefriend.com and various other things last Sunday? You'd be sort of all set up?
I'm waiting for an operating system to be part of my life, is my answer.
Well, how often we spend our entire life looking for the right operating system to work with.
Sometimes you are.
Gabriella Peralta is with us for at least another 900 seconds, 15 minutes if you're counting. It's all right. She doesn't explode then, but she does actually ascend another level in the building.
One floor up, actually, directly above us.
Directly. You could actually have a kind of fireman's pole and then sort of, you know, move upwards really on that basis. Maybe we should introduce that.
Siren will have the budget to put that in.
It's a possibility. Anyway, enough of such stuff, Richard. In about 8 days from now, we'll be hopefully meeting you in person when we have a little London location report. All sorts of exciting things happening for that. But that's to come. And we've got the Monuments Men. We've got her.
We've
got Scarlett Johansson's voice. We got the Invisible Woman. Where do you want to go to?
Well, I think let's, if we may...
Got BAFTAs as well, of course.
Her and the Monuments Men. And Her is, I think, a very unusual movie. I mean, you would expect no less from Spike Jones, who, of course, being John Malkovich fame. But what is fascinating...
Richard, it should be Malkovich. If you've seen the movie, you'll know the reference of Malkovich.
I remember him. I actually was an extra once on a movie, which will remain nameless, it was so awful, Johnny English in brackets, in which he performed. We got on extremely well.
I just have to hold that momentarily. Gabriella, Richard Fitzwilliams in Johnny English with Rowan Atkinson and all those fight. Well,
I can't imagine that, but how was it?
In the nightclub scene, I'm afraid I wasn't visible for very long, but...
freeze frame, that's what DVDs are for. Mm-hmm.
It was great fun, though, to meet the cast. And the line, you see, if you see a star, you edit an international who's who, or in the particular case, I'd only just left the job. I had put them in the book, and no star will be other than charming if that is your opening line.
Mm-hmm.
So it was great fun, the Metro, and Atkinson as well, and if only the film hadn't been good party, though. Good after party. The Royal Court of Justice. My goodness, they laid on vast buffets, huge.
Well, that's like, you see, too much of the budget spent on partying, whereas obviously the actual structure of the film possibly just left to one side for a wee bit.
Maybe they should have had more of you in it.
Well,
now
you see.
That is a thought to conjure with. But back to operating systems.
Indeed.
I feel her is, putting it mildly, a very unusual movie, and it's set in L.A. and sometime in the near future. And Theodore, played by Joaquin Phoenix, works for a firm which writes letters for others, and he's divorcing. It's a tough time in his life. He's losing Catherine, played by the most memorable Rooney Mara. Remember Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and so on. And he's much depressed, and he gets a new operating system, and this brings a voice into his life. The voice of Scarlett Johansson, whom we never see. And this is about a different kind of love. What can a voice do to you? Or indeed, you do to the voice. And
I ask myself that question every time we do one of these shows on Siren 107.3 FM. What is Gabriella's voice doing to the listener?
It's clever. It's clever, it's unusual.
Name check for your uncle, please, Gabriella. Sorry, Richard, I just realised that if we don't get this in, she'll have gone upstairs before, you know, we've finished. So, you know, you did mention his...
So, yeah, hi, Uncle Douglas. I know you're listening, so hope you're enjoying.
Got to keep the fans of Gabriella happy, Richard. Back to the operating system.
Indeed we do. The operating system is... It not only can grow on you, you can affect it. Not only that, it can produce what one might call a surrogate, or indeed, it can act as your agent, but you didn't realize. What about sending your letters to a publisher? And it can do this. And also, what of your friends? What if they experience marital problems? Interesting look at the idiocies of human relationships in this, because Amy, played by the inimitable and absolutely charming and lovely, and I think we agree here, Amy Adams, decides to break off my husband simply because row, obviously there are deeper problems, but the actual row is where she puts her shoes. He wants a tidy home. She wants to be individualistic. So what could be easier for her than an operating system? It can very occasionally be a bit contrived. But having said that, and there's nothing new about angst for an individual going through a midlife crisis, and the shots of the urban jungle of LA are very effective, but it does raise questions as to where we're heading and what kinds of love we could experience. And as
it's in the mind, Richard, it's all in the mind. That's where it all starts with our own organic operating systems.
The mind's very important, and Theodore discovers more and more about her as the film progresses. But I have to say, I enjoyed it enormously, and I think that it's a sort of exceptional... Well, it's completely unique. I mean, it's worth experiencing.
That's
the word.
Last night on the Midweek Drive, we revealed the extraordinary news that Gabriella Peralta has actually watched some episodes of The Big Bang Theory. Amazing. Does her appeal as a kind of movie you might consider checking out?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe. Okay.
I'm not too sure about her.
That's a maybe. Many people have always been unsure about her. At least it's better than she, to use another feminine pronoun, which, of course, had Ursula Andress in it a good few years ago.
Oh, my goodness, indeed.
Just don't go into the fire unless you want to actually renew yourself. That's the important thing. And don't become an invisible woman. Where are we going now, Richard? Keeping the theme going.
Yes, I'm not sure where, but you certainly brought back an unforgettable memory.
I thought I might, anyway.
You have, indeed. So we move to that which, in fact, ought to bring future generations great pleasure, the monuments saved by the Monuments Men. I bring this up because I went to the press conference with most of the stars. And
was George there?
George was. He is the director. He also acts in it, as does Matt Damon, Bill Murray, John Goodman.
They're quite a team, really. I often think, actually, Richard, George Clooney and Matt Damon are indeed the Alex Leftwich and Ed Wellman of the movie world. It's quite interesting, really. Gabriella might agree or disagree, but, you know, there we are.
What can one say to that? The thing was, I just thought that this has actually got a lot of publicity in the papers. I put the question because I saw when Clooney was asked by a Greek journalist when the film premiered, not to good notice, I have to add, in Berlin, about the Elgin Marbles, because the movie raises quite important questions about art. Is it worth giving or laying down a life for art? The movie deals with a platoon of often elderly, or quite elderly, figures going into Germany at the end of the war to rescue artistic masterpieces from the Nazis who've looted them. To what extent should, for example, art belong in a particular place? And the Elgin Marbles came up, so I asked George Clooney for his views, and indeed the others on of the cast, and Matt Damon and Bill Murray agreed. And Clooney said he'd done some research since the previous conference and was of the same opinion. And Boris Johnson attacked him and said that he was losing his marbles.
Yeah, but, you know, Boris, what can one say?
Boris...
He's never been the same since the Zipfly incident, is all I can say. But never mind. It's, what is it? I mean, his predecessor liked newts. Boris liked sort of... what is it with the Mayor of London? I think ever since Dick Whittington, there's been some sort of questionable scenario with respect to that. So.
Something to do with idiosyncrasy getting you votes, and doubt about it. I mean, Clooney was actually gave a very measured response, I thought, and if we could, having been to Greece last December, and having been not into the Acropolis, but practically no tourists there, which I would recommend to everybody. Very interesting, incidentally, the wondrous view of Athens, especially slightly chilly, but on a beautiful day, and then going to the museum, the Acropolis Museum, which has been specially designed to house the treasures. The marbles, in my opinion, ought to be on some sort of permanent loan from the British Museum. What that would mean, of course, is you wouldn't get countless lawsuits, which would mean the breakup of all the big collections because there's been so much plunder over the centuries. We know the arguments. The point was, Clooney was trying to be humanistic. Now, the pity, however, is that the movie, which should be extremely good, to my shame, I didn't know of the story, and there are several treasures targeted, most particularly by the group of... often aging individuals, who include, incidentally, Hugh Bonneville, who wasn't there, and Kate Blanchett, badly miscast as a French woman who works in...
Did she not have the right accent to actually do the job properly, Richard?
I'm afraid she sounded exactly like that.
Well, there we are. Is momentarily Kate Blanchett coming into the whole scenario.
No, I fear she did, and it was not a well-written role. The Ghent altarpiece, the Madonna in Bruges by Michelangelo, and some Paris treasures, I mean, the amount of art looted by them, that's absolutely extraordinary. And this team of many older art curators and the like, their work was amazing. One of them was at the, in the press conference, and it's part of history.
Let's just go to Gabriella briefly, our girl from Gibraltar. Elgin Marvels, where do you actually position yourself in that argument between should they actually go back to Greece to actually be left out in the weather and basically sort of be, you know, left to wreck and ruin, or should they be nicely at home in the British Museum?
In the British Museum.
Right.
Best,
but
I
they're
guess.
Not going to be put out to rail. That's appalling.
Did you think I was a bit of bias there? A little bit of bias coming across in terms of one statement? I don't know.
Maybe.
Just a little bit of fun.
Just a teeny bit. Nellie, a happily married mother and school teacher, is haunted by her past. Her memories, provoked by remorse and guilt, take us back in time to follow the story of her relationship with Charles Dickens, with whom she discovered an exciting but fragile complicity. Could we be talking about Felicity Jones, Kristin Scott Thomas, Ralph Fiennes et al. In The Invisible Woman?
We most certainly could, and this, unlike the Monuments Men, which I have to say is a dull plodding and poorly scripted with music.
But it has Cate Blanchett in it.
Yes, and it has music, and also which is so triumphal that you frankly do really feel that, no, this is not The Longest Day. This is supposed to be a serious movie, and it really, really was dull, which, just to mention, that it also waves the Stars and Stripes yet again. We had this with Lone Survivors complaining about this, and I complain about it again. A pity, because it's an opportunity missed. But when it comes to The Invisible Woman, this is directed by Ralph Fiennes, who did Coriolanus so brilliantly, also playing the title role. And he plays Dickens, who's at the height of his fame. And he could do whatever he wanted and be whatever he wanted. And he had both self-love. No one loved Dickens more than he. But also he did, of course, the brilliance of his novels. And most particularly, and this is what the film dwells on, the amazing rapport he had with his audiences. It's a very painterly film. It's absolutely exquisite to look at. But it's also so sensitively handled and so beautifully acted. I was fascinated by a movie that showed the flaws of the great, because when Dickens falls for the young and absolutely fascinating mistress, Nellie Ternan becomes his mistress, played by Felicity Jones so beautifully. He absolutely ruthlessly cuts his wife, Catherine, a remarkable performance by Joanna Scanlon, out of his life.
If you want to trade up, trade in, it's the way you go.
It's still mean.
It's a story told in flashback, because Nelly relives what she can...
Well, she's haunted by her past, let's face it. Haunted by her past.
Haunted by her past, indeed. She goes along walks on the beach. But this is a movie with... It has this amazing vividness. And there are certain scenes. What happens, for example, when Dickens sends his mistress a gift and the gift is accidentally given to his wife? Well, how many men would tell their wives to go and give it to their mistress who it was originally intended for? Well, the scene is beautifully played.
Oh, it's interesting. I mean, I could see the scene happening in Derby, for instance, but maybe not. No, no.
If, for example, you were going to separate officially from your wife, would you first, before telling her, would you place an advertisement in the Times, literally in a letter, advertising it to the world? Quite extraordinary. And yet you can see the mercurial nature of Dickens' superlative performance by Ray Fiennes. The whole cast do brilliantly, and also the lesser parts, the smaller roles, also very well handled. Tom Hollander, always reliable. Richard McCabe there too, who I saw in Fortune's Fool, a play by Turgenev that I'd never heard of. It ought to be mentioned, McCabe was so splendid playing Harold Wilson in The Audience. He won an Olivier for that, and he plays this wickedly roguish and malign rake in the country who digs out all sorts of secrets in the Fortune's Fool. Very, very strong. Good to see him again in a small role here.
And if you have an answer to Richard's quandary, just call us on studio@sirenonline.co.uk. It could be an interesting sort of pre-Valentine solution there. So, yeah, what would you do if you were Charles Dickens at the time?
Well, if you're Charles Dickens, you don't take much notice of Valentine's Day. But if you're fixated by a particular woman, the film shows what happens to her.
I think Charles is on the line at present, actually. I think it's either
Charles
or Charles. Well, you know, we like to feel that we got a hotline to heaven on this whole particular piece. It's always a good strategy to actually work our way on that basis. Very good indeed. Katie Grimerson is listening. Hello, Katie. Let's say hello, Katie.
Hey, Katie.
Yay, Katie. Go, Katie. And has she actually... Oh, she wants us to play a record for her.
Oh, which one? Or is this another surprise?
Have we actually got... Sorry, Richard, I realise we're sort of taking up your... very valuable time here in terms of actually just looking at the whole system. We'll have a look.
I think it sounds to me like some sort of system trying to get through an operating system.
Yeah, you see, this is it. This is what's taken us all the way through on that particular basis. But I have to ask Gabriella, from the three movies we've actually had described there, The Monuments Men, The Invisible Woman, or Her... would any of those particularly? I mean, it was kind of mixed feelings about, obviously, the first one, which was Her.
Yeah.
So your thoughts on, has Richard persuaded you to give a little shout-out to Cate Blanchett and her fantastic accent?
I know, that doesn't sound too good. I don't know if you've really sold them to me today. You've kind of maybe been a bit harsh about some of them. I'm not too sure, but I'm not really sold.
Well, I praised Her, and I praised The Invisible Woman. I couldn't have praised, certainly... both of them much more than I did, but The Monuments Men is unfortunate because you're talking about the rescue of masterpieces, you're talking about people dying, a brave man who tried to do this, and you're also looking at an interesting period in World War II in a movie that is so slack and poorly edited and seems to feel that just because you've got big stars wandering around, it makes sense. It doesn't.
Definitely won't be watching that one then. Probably go for Invisible Woman.
Invisible Woman.
Yes.
Invisible Woman is certainly the one to see, but also Her. When you've given it thought, think to the future.
You see, you first mentioned that. I thought you talked about Cilla Black in some kind of hairdresser scenario, as in Cilla Black and Her. Never mind. It's a line. If you get the Merseyside at the routine, you know what it's all about, Her.
Well, if you want to see the vintage or the era of Cilla Black, she doesn't appear, but there's a very interesting David Bailey exhibition that's just opened at the National Portrait Gallery.
Do you know, it'll probably be on our list of things to do, but it is 33 minutes past 8 o'clock, precisely, in the morning, 8:33. Or as somebody might say, 27 minutes to 9. Gabriella will have to ascend to the first floor.
All the way up,
etc. We've got the fabulous actress Claire King joining us, together with Alan Silman from the British Arthritis Association, and a variety of other things as well. We've also got Ian Lennox. So I'm afraid the BAFTAs will have to wait until the results have happened, Richard.
Well, we did go through three movies,
yes,
but very, very, very quickly. I do think it'll be... The evening will be 12 Years a Slave, and I think Gravity will be honoured in the category, possibly a Best Director for
you've
the
state, You've stated those lyrics. Very good. Gabriella, last two questions for Richard Fitzwilliams, please.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Yes, indeed. Got three films in.
And we'll be connecting with you again, hopefully next week.
Yes, and hopefully then in person thereafter.
Yeah, exactly, you see.
Great,
it's all
yeah.
fantastic stuff and everything. Now, Gabriella, I know you want the answer to this question. What has Katie actually asked for? Is it George Michael and Careless Whisper?
Oh, my God, I wish it is.
In which case, she'll be disappointed. The answer is no, but she may not be disappointed, because this is pretty much what she asked for. It's a rhetorical question by the very frozen band of monkeys in the Arctic, because they're obviously quite cold there. And I know Richard would appreciate that. Do I want to know? Well, you know, of course we do.
Yeah.
That's why we're listening to Siren 107.3 FM, the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Happy trails, Richard. See you very soon.
Look forward to it.
Have you got colour in your cheeks?